Well, we will start with the lesson of today with a long list of definitions and basic properties of various objects, which will be the principal actors of all the topics which will be treated. This initial part is contained in the first file, PDF file, you will find in the web page of the course. The title is Elementi di Algebra Lineare, Linear Algebra Basics, somewhat similar in the English translation. This part, I'm sorry, may be that some of you find it somewhat annoying, but it is important to have a common starting point for all of you, independently from the studies that you have already done. So, linear algebra basics, matrices and vectors, you all know what they are. Important classes of matrices. An important note, we will consider vectors and matrices with entries, elements, in the complex field. So some definitions, some operations will be defined in a more general way with respect to the definition on the real numbers that you already know. Important class of matrices will be, I don't recall all the definitions because some of the definitions we meet will be well known to you. Diagonal matrices, triangular matrices, a subclass of these matrices are the scalar matrices. Very often we will accompany the definitions with with pictures or schemes. Diagonal, scalar. Scalar matrix can be written also as alpha by the identity matrix. Triangular matrices of two types, upper or lower. In many cases, not all, these matrices can be rectangular. Not always. For instance, I can also consider a rectangular matrix lower triangular. What is its shape? I can always consider the main diagonal because it is defined by the entries having the indices equal, Lower triangular means that I am allowing to be non-zero entries in these locations. On the contrary, this definition, in the way I have given it, holds only for square lattices. This is not a problem. From one time to another, it will be always clear if we can consider the general case of rectangular matrices, usually the two sizes will be called M, the number of rows, and N, the number of columns. Following the order in the first chapter, another important class of matrices is the class of the so-called three-diagonal matrices, which means, what is this definition? Again, consider in the scheme, in the picture, the case of a square matrix. Three-diagonal means that outside the region formed by these three diagonals, the main diagonal and the two adjacent diagonals on the upper part and on the lower part, the other entries of the matrix are zero. In other words, if the absolute value of I minus J is strictly larger than 1. This kind of matrices very often occurs in various applications. We can consider this case as a special case of band matrices, matricia banda, where the entries that can be non-zero lies along a certain subset of diagonals, including or not the main diagonal. So all these properties, all these classes of matrices, are connected with a particular, in some cases, a very particular structure. In other words, the position, the location of zero entries. We go on. Well, you know the operations of matrices of the same, not necessarily the same in some cases, sizes. If we restrict ourselves to the case of square matrices, you know that matrices can be summed, sum matrices. You know that matrices can be multiplied by a scalar. With these two operations, we have a vector space structure. Another fundamental operation over the final of the matrices is the product
You know the definition.
As the name says,
we multiply the rows
of the first matrix by the columns of the second matrix. These operations have various properties. I don't recall all of them because it would be too long to list all the properties. You know, an important fact is the non-commutativity of the row by column product of matrices. You know also that this product is defined also in the case of rectangular matrices, provided that the number of columns of the first matrix equals the number of rows of the second. M by n, n is must be the same value by, say, R column. And the result, you know, is a matrix C which has M columns and R, M rows, sorry, and R columns. Other three very important classes of matrices whose definitions are not connected with the location of zeros as in the previous cases. The first class, which probably you don't know, this can be the first time you see it, is other classes of matrices normal matrices definition. Matrix A, we consider it square, A is normal, definition is the following, what does this H mean?
This also can be Hermitian.
The Hermitian operator. What does it mean? What is the Hermitian operator? If I write this on the left side of the blackboard, if I have a complex matrix, all our matrices are complex. Let me stress this fact, because in the complex field the definition is the effect or the definition is different from the real case. I have a complex matrix A in general M by N. A to the H, or the Hermitian of A, Hermitiana, we can call it, is the matrix B whose entries are, this is the definition, defined as the conjugates of the entries of A with the indices reverse speed. An example.
Consider this 2x2 matrix, complex matrix A.
I, the complex, the imaginary unit,
two minus I, 3, 1.
This is an arbitrary complex matrix. A to the H is the result of two manipulations. The reversions of indices. So I revert the location of the number with respect to the main diagonal, and then, or four, it's the same thing naturally, the conjugation. You must remember what the conjugation of a complex number means. If I have the complex number x expressed in the Cartesian form, A real part plus I by B, complex part, the conjugate, its conjugate, which we note with a bar over the symbol of number, is obtained by replacing the plus with the minus, changing sign to the complex part B. In the usual representation of complex number, if x is represented by this point, x bar its conjugate is represented by the symmetric point with respect to the real axis. So, turning back to our simple example, here in the addition of A, I have minus I. Here I have the conjugate of 3, which is 3 because the number is real. Here I have the conjugate of this, so 2 plus I, and here I have the conjugate of the entry itself, because I am over the main diagonal. This is A to the H. Let's come back to the definition of normal matrix. So if we have the product, the representation with the picture is not very meaningful, but just take into account that this condition makes sense because the product is not commutative in general. So we, in this class, put only the matrices for which this product is commutative. At this point, we have only this definition, which does not allow us to understand the significance. What does this definition mean substantially? We are not able, because it is not easy, to characterize in this moment this kind of matrices, it will be clearer in the following of the course. The second class which we consider now is the class of Hermitian matrices. Definition is simple. They are matrices whose Hermitian is equal to the matrix itself. So, example. How can we modify this matrix in order to make it Hermitian? We need that A to the H is equal to the starting matrix. So, this is the only entry which satisfies the condition. In order to have the main entries be equal in the two matrices, we need that the main principal entries on the matrix, or the original matrix, are real. So we can put here a real number. If we have in these positions no real number, when we make their conjugates, we obtain different numbers. So the condition cannot be verified. Outside the main diagonal, we can put here these two values. If you perform the Hermitian operator, you have here the complex, the conjugate of this, so 1 minus I, and here the conjugate of this, 1 plus I. So it is clear that the condition is that outside the main diagonal, the entries of the upper part are the conjugates of the entries in the lower part with indices reversed. These are Hermitian matrices which are very which one meet very frequently in many applications, and they are nice matrices because they have, as we will see, a lot of properties besides the definition. An observation: Hermitian matrices are also normal. So, if we wonder how a normal matrix can be made, an important example is given by the Hermitian matrix. Why? If we apply the definition of a normal matrix to an Hermitian matrix, we have A, H, which is A, by A, A, and again A. So in the definition we have A squared in both sides. So it's okay. The third class is that the class of unitary matrices definition. We have again, we face again the Hermitian of A. We have again the product with A, but in this case, this is a stronger condition, the product makes the identity matrix. So, an immediate remark, also in this case, we have a normal matrix. Again, we check this condition. I don't write it again. We have here we have the identity matrix. And you remember that if we have a matrix which multiplied by another matrix gives the identity matrix, this means that two matrices are one the inverse of the other. So we can write that the inverse of A is A to the H, and you have to remember that the product of a matrix by its inverse is commutative. So we can write also that A to H by A makes again the identity matrix. So unitary matrices are again a particular case of normal matrix. Another way to see this the unitary matrices is to give a look to the effect that has this equality, this equation, the definition, while we consider the definition of row by column product. So, if we consider the product in this order, so this is A and that is A to the H, we have, for instance, that the first row of A multiplied by the first column of A to the H, the result is the number 1. This is the product of a row by a column, as the product between matrices is defined. But the first column of A to the H is, if we call this first row, we call it X. In the first column of the Hermitian of A, we have the same numbers that are in X allocated along a column and conjugated. So it's better. Let me call the first row of A as X to the H. So the first column of A to the H becomes X. The important is that one is the Hermitian of the other. So X to the H by X makes 1. If we call these rows with the index I, we have
That also we, if we consider another row, the ith row of A, and we multiply by the corresponding column of A to B, H, we have this problem that makes one. If we change one of the two indices, we obtain, as a result from this equation, an entry of I which is outside the main diagonal, zero, if I is different from J. This property can be, and this effectively is written as x I sub I to the H by x sub J. We use the symbol of Kronecker delta, which is a compact way to mean one if I and J are equal and zero otherwise. This geometric property of the rows of A, which can be extended to the columns of A. If I consider instead of this product, the product in the other arrangement, we have an analogous property regarding the columns of A. So one can state that a unitary matrix has orthonormal rows and orthonormal columns. Orthonormal, that means exactly what is written here. Orthonormal rows and columns. As a final look to these classes of matrices, we can imagine the normal matrices as the bigger set. A subset is given by the Hermitian matrices. Another subset is given by the unitary matrices. There are in the following we consider matrices which are simultaneously unitary and Hermitian. This is possible. We have seen in the characterization in terms of row and columns, we have considered the product of vectors, row vectors, column vectors. This was a situation, a case in which we see in the plane of operations over matrices the scalar product, also called inner product of vectors
with complex edges. This is a generalization of the scalar product of vectors with real entries that you know. With the aim to respect the definition of a row by column product, which plays a basic role in the definition of product between matrices, we represent with the node this scalar product as the product of a row vector by a column vector. Usually, the row vector will be considered as the Hermitian of a column vector, to be clear. If not specified, differently specified, vectors for us are column vectors with complex entries. So here we consider the row vector whose entries are the conjugates of the corresponding entries on X. Here we have the complex entries of Y. The result here, this is the definition of scalar product, is the sum of these products. The vectors that have the same length. The relevant difference from the definition over the real field is that the first of the two vectors appears with the bar. There are the conjugates of the entries of X. This operation has the same properties of its restriction on the real field, except for the non-commutativity. So we stress this fact. This product is non-commutative. Moreover, if we revert the order, so if we consider y to be h by x, it is the conjugate of the product in the previous order. So this is the non-commutativity over the real numbers. These two products will be the same because over R we would have the H operator, the Hermitian operator, is the same than the transpose operator. So X to the T by Y is equal to Y to the T by X. With regard to the property we have seen for the unitary matrices, if x to the h by y is zero, we say that we have orthonormal vectors,
orthogonal vectors,
if the product of a vector by itself makes one, we say that the vector is normalized, or also that it is a unit vector.
Let us go on with we here will find these properties. The properties of the scalar product over the complex vectors, then the definition of linear independence and dependence force, but you have to know it. The definition of orthogonal, vectors, and then
a more general case of this is the case when we have more than two vectors, as in the case of the rows of the columns of the Euclidean matrix. If the vectors x sub 1, x sub m, say, satisfy the conditions
There is scalar products in all the possible ways.
Make the delta of Kronecker, the Kronecker delta. We say that this set is orthonormal.
The orthonormal sets of vectors are very pleasant. Because if we have unit computation, a set of vectors of this kind, more precisely, matrix not necessarily square, which has orthonormal rows, columns, computations are simple, just for the reason that if we perform these operations between those vectors, we have or 0 or 1. So it may be useful to be able to obtain a set of orthonormal vectors from a generic set of linear independent vectors. So the answer is this: a way to obtain set of orthonormal vectors from a set of linear independent vectors. There is a well-known procedure. Maybe that you saw it in also in linear algebra basic courses. That is the so-called Gram-Schmidt orthogonalization
give you just a sketch of the procedure. We start from, say, on the sake of simplicity, 3 vectors x1, sub2, sub3 linearly independent. This is essential, and we want to obtain other 3 orthonormal vectors y, sub1, sub2, sub3 inside some vector space C2 to the n. The scheme is the following. We compute for each index an intermediate vector t sub I, so let us start from 1. As the starting point, t sub 1 is defined equal to x sub 1. The corresponding y is simply the vector obtained by t sub 1, which is equal to x1, normalized. This is a normalization. Where with the notation norm 2 of t sub 1, we mean the square root of this product. Is it all clear? If there are questions, ask me. This vector has norm 1, which is the same thing we now use. We use the term norm in this context. For now, norm 2 means only this. We have a generic vector with complex entity Z. Which explicitly means, if we perform this scalar product, we have the sum of the squares of the absolute values of each entry in Z. The second step, we define T sub 2 as the vector here. Obtained by subtracting from x sub 2, we have the scalar product y1 by x2 multiplied by y1, which we have already computed. This is the second vector. The idea is a geometric idea. We consider the old vector, consider this product multiplied by this vector is the orthogonal projection of x
sub 2 over y by 1.
Yeah, the coefficient for y1 is the scalar product between y1 and x2.
Yes, this is a number which multiplies the vector that we have already obtained at the previous step.
Okay, why is y1, why is it the derivative of y1 and the emission of y1? Because this is two column.
I'm sorry, you're right. This is. The Hermitian of y1, okay? The final result for the second step will be the normal axis of t sub 2. You can easily guess. The other steps, the first step in this case, we will have the x with an index, subtraction with all the projections of this vector along the previous normalized vectors. So we have here the sum of y conjugate transpose by xy with index say k, going from 1 to 2. This is a number multiplied by the vector y sub k. In general, we can proceed this way for each index of x. Y sub t will be It is easy to check that the vectors obtained in this way are orthonormal vectors by construction. The proof should be done by induction on the index of x. Another way to see this procedure is the following. If we construct the matrix capital X whose columns are the vectors X. Let us consider, always for simplicity, that n is equal to 3. Analogously, we consider the square matrix Y, capital Y, whose columns are the Y vectors. Well, the matrix X can be expressed in terms of the product of the matrix Y multiplied by matrix R, who is upper three. Why this remark? Because in this way we see that the Gram-Schmidt procedure allows us to write the original matrix factorized as the product of special matrices.
It will be clear
in next lessons
that it's always very important to be able to transform, to rewrite, to manipulate a given matrix and with the goal, with the aim to replace it with simpler matrices, simpler special matrices. We have a generic matrix, invertible because its columns are linear independent, expressed as the product of one which is unitary, since its columns are orthonormal. We have seen before that the unitary matrix has orthonormal columns. But it is true also the reverse. If a matrix has orthonormal columns, then it is unitary. So this is a unitary matrix. And this is upper triangular, and computations are easy if we have a unitary matrix, for the reason I've said before, and also if I have a rectangle, a triangular matrix, because I see it now, and then we make a short break, because triangular matrix, triangular matrices, one invertible, are easily invertible, since their inverses are again of the same kind. In this case, the inverse of Y is the Hermitian of Y. You know that the inversion of an invertible matrix is a hard computational task. But we have only to make Hermitian. It's simple. Very simple. More in general, if we ask for the closure of the classes we have already considered with respect to product and inversion, starting from these last cases, triangular closure. The sense that the product of two triangular gives another triangular, the inverse of a triangular is another triangular. Also unitary. The inverse is obvious. Also the product. The product of two unitary is also unitary. While normal and Hermitian are closed only for inversion. If you multiply, it is simple to see, to check with counter examples, if you multiply a generic Hermitian, in particular symmetric, if you take two symmetric, two by two real matrices, which are a particular case of Hermitian,
the product is not necessarily of the same type, it's not necessarily symmetric.
Well, we stop for 10 minutes. Any questions?
Wait.